sir. Philly's doing some good stuff, aren't they? You like your trades?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can feel it.
What do you think? Another picture?
All right, everyone, let's stand up and worship the Lord. Welcome to Haven Community Church, and we just had our VBS this week, so that's what that was from. Let's just worship the Lord here today. How y'all doing?
There we go. Yeah.
Thank you.
together this morning. Get everybody worked up, ready to praise.
Worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause He hung up on that cross and He rose up from that grave. My God still holding stones away.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today.
And we won't be quiet.
We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the
today,
and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place,
and we won't be quiet.
We shout out your praise.
There's
joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today,
and we won't be quiet.
We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place.
And we won't be quiet.
We shout out your praise.
We shout out your praise. Shout out your praise. Shout out your praise.
I am a child I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. No, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Time for our kids to head to our Haven Kids, and everybody around, just say glad to see you in church today, and then you can have a seat.
God is great.
Our God is awesome.
Celebrate.
Celebrate.
Our God is great.
Our God is awesome.
Celebrate.
Celebrate.
He's an
That was amazing. Lisa, would you please come up and do that dance again? Oh, that was supposed to be after I spoke, but that's okay. That was amazing. I just want one more round of applause for all those with Vacation Bible School. We had 34 children attending. I think that is absolutely amazing. God is in this church, and he is moving hard, and it's just amazing. I want to lift a few praises today. Ron and I did make it through our trip. We did not kill each other. We are still married. And we got back in my small car, and I realized how much I need a bigger car. But anyway, we had a great time at the conference. We learned a lot of good things about Jesus and how to bring him to you, and we hope that we can continue to do that and share him with all of you so that you can feel that love and joy in your heart, which we sang about today, because it's so true. God gives you such a peace and such a joy in your heart. We also want to lift a few people in prayer. Caden Brown is going to have surgery this week, tomorrow, I believe. And I know that he's been going through quite a few things, so we just want to lift him in prayer. Donna and Bill. Bill is still recovering from his surgery, and Donna has taken the touch of the COVID, so we are keeping her at home and in our prayers. We had a family. Mia was killed in an accident, and she's only 16 years old, so we want to lift that family because that's a really hard thing to go through. Karen Verity, she gave me a praise, and as you know, her sister's on a missions trip in Kenya, and she had taken sick, and they believe she might have tetanus, so they're treating her, and she got a picture today of her, and she looks good. You know, she's not all the way well, but she looks good, so she is healing, and we need to lift her in prayers because they can't get her home here, so we have to pray that, you know, Kenya can service her with her medical needs. And Marge, my girlfriend up front row, we got to pray for her knees that they get better so she'll be kicking butt again. And Mark is going in 2 weeks to have a total knee replacement. And because I pray for him, I can relate because I had one. So we'll lift him in prayer so he's kicking butt. And we have some people that recovered from surgery. Brenda and Ed, it's good to see you guys sitting here. And I think the little man that had his appendix out, is he here today? No, but is he doing okay? Yeah, good. All right, because he had his appendix out. And he's pretty young for that, so I'm glad he's doing okay. And I'm looking at my notes to see if I missed anybody else. Jill and Jim, we want to give them traveling mercies as they will be taking Natalie to school. And for all the families that are going to be taking their college children back to school, traveling mercies and, you know, that empty nest thing when you get home, just celebrate and keep praying for them. Whoop, whoop. For some, that might be a good thing. I just have two reminders. Our grief share group starts next Monday night. You can still sign up. There are flyers out front, or you can see me to get one. If you know somebody who's going through grief, and it doesn't have to be the loss of a spouse or someone. It could be somebody who's going through a divorce, a loss of a job. We really talk about grief and how it affects you. So we are open to anyone who would like to join us. It is free. They get their booklet, and a lot of good fellowship and a lot of good bonding happens in these groups. So it starts next Monday. It's a 13-week session, and you can join at any time. If you're halfway through, you finally say, okay, I think I'm going to do this, you are welcome to join us. Okay? Anybody else got a shout out? Yes, ma'am. Okay, I did read that, and Kate, I'll get it right one of these days. Katie, one of her friends lost her 19-year-old son, was it, in a car accident. So we want to lift them in prayer, because that's, again, that's a really hard thing to go through. It's not the norm for us to lose our children. So I want everybody to put their hands down. You all know what that means. We're going to give it over to God. Okay, when you woke up this morning, you had something heavy on your heart, heavy on your mind, whatever it is, give it to God. Let him take it away. Take away the pain, take away the depression, take away the frustration, because our world is upside down. As Jack said, we are trying to live right side up in an upside down world. Let those things go. Give them all to God. Let him take those out of your body. Feel it, just release. And now I want you to lift your hands to God and say, Jesus, just fill me up. And he will fill you up. He'll take away that pain. He'll take away that hurt. And we are going to move forward. We are a nation that has God, and we need God. And he is going to give it back to us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you today for this time that we get to come together in fellowship, and the hugs that we give one another, and the love that we share in our church family. I know God is present today. I can feel him in my body. I feel him in my soul. And I can only hope that you get that same feeling of joy that he gives your heart, because he can lift the burdens. Give them to him. He will take them away. He will make a better path for you. Be with those who need healing, that are ill and are suffering or coming through surgeries or fighting tetanus. Be with them, God, and lift them. Give them the healing hands that you have put upon them. Be with our youth, as they are amazing, and it fills my heart with joy just to smile and laugh, and especially Lisa. I don't know how she keeps coming back to Vacation Bible School. But anyway, God, you know there's love in the hearts of those children, and you're filling them up, and that's a good thing, and we love you for it. Be with Pastor Jack today as he gives us the Holy Spirit and talks about a beatitude and how we should be. In Jesus' name, I lift these things in prayer. Amen. And now we have more announcements, right? No, we don't.
To be better than that if you're good. Are you good? Yeah. If you're not good, don't say a word, and hopefully God will get you there. Welcome, everybody. Glad you're here today. Lisa, awesome. I mean, it reminded me of our trip to Haiti when you went through a security checkpoint, because Lisa always got checked by them, and I think that's where she learned to do that little dance. But anyway, right? And people who went with us are laughing because they know it's exactly the same thing. Our QR code is up here in case you want to go ahead and have a digital copy of our worship guide or our bulletin today to follow along. There's some blanks that are there. And if God gives me something that you think is valuable, awesome. And we'll go ahead and share that. So really, really kind of good. Had a good week this week. Took some time with the family and got to just took a couple days to Ocean City. It was awesome weather. And lots of people there, and I guess that's why everybody in my house is sick, and I'm staying completely away from them. I'm the one who's quarantining myself and locking myself up, and Jacob, too. We're running away. I even had to feed the chickens yesterday, and I just want to let you know I hate a rooster that is there, so just to let you know, all right? So, here we are. We're here. We are in a series on the Beatitudes. What are the Beatitudes? Jesus gave a sermon. Even many people who even people who are not believers, look at the teachings that Jesus gave in the Sermon on the Mount as some of the greatest teachings ever in the history of the world. And in doing so, he had a preamble to that, like a beginning part, a prologue, and that is what we call the Beatitudes. And it's they start with something very consistent. They start with blessed are those, blessed is this. And we talked about the challenge of the word in translation from Greek to English. It blessed, because when we think blessed or blessed, we think of, oh, well, I'm blessed because I have health, I have food, I have this, and that's a blessing. But that can be temporal in many ways. In other words, other translations may have it, happy are those, happy. And that's not good because that's also temporal. Like I always say, when you're sick, what would make you happy? To get well. When you're hungry, what would make you happy? To eat. There we go. And if you've eaten a big meal, you don't want to eat anything else. So we have this thing. So it's a really challenge. But it basically means it's a state of being that regardless of what happens on the outside, in the outside, that it doesn't affect your blessedness or your happiness that's there. It's a complete, it's a joy, it's something that regardless of situations, you can still remain in this manner. And that's what Jesus is saying. Now, when we look at these, as we called this, we called it stranger think, because it's a stranger way to think in our world, because we think just the opposite. Every single one of these that I've gone through, I think just the opposite. You know, I don't say, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, I don't think those things are hunger and thirst for righteousness. I don't think that way. And so what are the ones we've gone through? What we realize is we live in a world that seems right set up, but really it is upside down. And Jesus wants us to live right, gives us the way to live right side up in this upside down world. And so there's several keys that Jesus gives to us. We are in week 6, and so we've gone, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, and that's one that we say, what in the world? You know, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. And there's always a promise at the end of this. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And we spent some time talking about that, because that's totally counterculture. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And blessed are the merciful. And today we're going to talk about blessed are the pure in heart. And the promise is, for they will see God. So one of the things I was thinking about this week, and particularly at the beach, I want to let you know, since the last time I was at the beach, I think they've ran out of more material for bathing suits, just to let you know. I tell you, I see some stuff. But our culture is absolutely obsessed with appearance. We really are. And it's about how you look and how you put yourself together. It's about image. I remember there was a commercial that used to say, image is everything. And we look at that. We say that if you're beautiful, we think if you're beautiful, you're considered to be bright and you're considered to be the best. The problem is, if you look around the life, that puts most of us out, doesn't it? The best and the most beautiful. Now, you could be sexy like me, and then you get there, and then we'd be good. But in 1 Samuel, God doesn't care about this stuff, the way we look. God says, Samuel says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. But really what it's saying is God could care less your outward appearance. The other thing is God could care less about your achievements, your accomplishments, or your acquisitions. God is not interested in how educated you are, how wealthy you are. God is not interested in how popular or how famous you are. What God cares about is not your image, but he cares about your heart and what's inside the real you. And that's what we're going to talk about today in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. I wanted to use a little different translation here today in the New Living Translation. And here's what it says here, if you look. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Now, what in the world does it mean to have people whose hearts are pure? And what does it mean that they will see God? What is this whole thing? We're going to talk a lot about what it means to be pure in heart. But seeing God, it means they get close to God. It means that they understand God, that they're there. They get to experience the presence and the power of God. They get to live in the peace of God and get to experience the pardon of God. And they're just really close to God. So God blesses those who are pure in heart. And the thing is, what does pure in heart mean? That's not something we say. We say, my gosh, do you know her, do you know Jane? She is so pure in heart. That Ron, he's just a pure in heart guy. We don't say that. That's not, anybody ever say that? Have you ever had a statement? No, we don't say that. So what do we say? I started looking at this, and what it means is we often use the term integrity. We have to say, hey, that Ron is a person of integrity, or that Jean is a person of integrity, or what have you. Integrity is something that seems to fit a lot more. And the Bible uses integrity a lot, and also uses the word blameless, but it uses integrity a lot. So what does it mean to have integrity? It does not mean that you are sinless. Everybody say, thank God. All right? It does not mean that you have to be perfect. Everybody say, thank you, God. It does not mean that you don't make any mistakes. And you all say? All right. The point is that God is not interested in the sins and the things that we commit as much as he is in the direction of your heart. And he's more interested in your attitude than your actions. And so that's what we want to look at. We look at many biblical examples. There's biblical examples all over the place of people who did the right thing with the wrong motivation. Like, for instance, I always called it in my ethics class when I taught calculating self-interest. That, for instance, if I help the single widow down the road because she has no relatives and she's got one foot in the casket and she's going to leave it all to me, I might be doing something nice for her, but I'm doing it for myself. So really, the condition of my heart is one that is not pure, that is not filled with integrity. If I do it for the sake of just doing it, then that is purity. And that's what God is concerned about. If I do something to get something, God says, sorry, that might be good by what the world says, but it doesn't count with me. Or the reverse is often true. There are many leaders in the Bible who actually did something that wasn't good, but they did it for the right reasons. And God said, okay, you're okay. Because God is actually really, really concerned and really embracing the direction and the condition of your heart than actually what you do. So what is integrity? The Bible gives us several times of people with integrity. Noah. We have Abraham, we have David, Moses had integrity, Paul had integrity, and none of them were perfect. Absolutely all of them messed up. Moses couldn't go into the promised land because he got angry and did something. David, God called a man after his own heart, and he did a lot of questionable things, including murder. And he actually one time, it's not something that we talk about, but one time when King Saul was after him, he acted like he was mentally insane in order to get away from situation that he had caused. And yet God says, hey, that guy over there really messed up, but his heart is one after my own. And we start to go, what in the world does that mean? Well, I want you to have a heart like God, and I want to have a heart like God. I want to be a person of integrity. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start out, and I'm going to give you three quick words that what it means to be a person of integrity. All right? The first thing that I want to share is the term wholeness. Wholeness. It means that your life is not divided into compartments. It's not into little areas. Your life is a whole. The word integrity comes from the term integer. How many of you are math people? How many like math? Okay, how many, I mentioned math and you just went, is there going to be a test? You got really excited and scared and you started to leave. Because I did when I looked at it myself. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm listening to math again. An integer, that's where we get our term. The same word comes from that. And an integer is a whole number. It's something that is whole and complete. It's not a fraction. It's not a decimal. It's not a part of a number. It is a whole number. And integrity means that you're taking your life as a whole, that it's one whole thing. It's also where we get the term integration. Anybody ever heard of that word? You feel a little bit better about English than you do math. And integration, the opposite of integration is segregation. Okay, so that's the opposite. That's where we divide things or people into whatever categories. Integration says we bring everybody together as the same part of the family. Where with segregation, we may divide people based off of race or religion or nationality or gender or whatever have you. Where integrate things, we say regardless of how you look like, regardless of where you came from, regardless of your schooling, regardless of your faith, regardless of your lifestyle, we bring everybody together because we are all family under the same God. And we may not think the same, look the same, smell the same, act the same, have the same background or color, but we are together in the same family. There's a lot of people, live their life like a pie or like a pizza. You pick which one you like better. That, for instance, we segment our life. We have a segregated life and not a whole life. We have one slice that is my career and that's my work life. We have another one that is my church and that is my spiritual life. We have another one that is my family and that's my family life. And we have another one which is my social life and with my friends. We have other parts of that. My sports life, my romantic life, my secret life, which contains my compulsions, my addictions, and the things I don't want anybody else to know. My friendship life. And that may change depending on what genre I'm in. I may have some friends who are here. I may have those friends that, you know, no matter how good you are, no matter what your stature is, you've known them forever. When you get together, it's like you're 12 years old again. Anybody have those friends? And you may be the one who does that all the time. But if you segment your life, what we learned is if you are segmented and you segment your life into different pieces of the pie, then really what we see, you don't have a life that is filled with integrity because it's not whole. It is divided in several different ways. And many people, when we divide those lives and look at those very divided, that we kind of become a chameleon in the different areas where we are rather than being the same person with integrity in all areas. And when we look at integrity, we want to be that same individual. And we don't pretend. So that brings us to the second thing that I want to share with you is authenticity. You're somebody who's authentic. It means that you're the real deal. You're not fake. You're not phony. You're not a scammer. You're not faking it. You're not pretending. You're not copying anybody else. You're not trying to be somebody that you're not. You're exactly who you appear to be. You have integrity no matter what, no matter where you are. I often try to be the same as I am here, as if I was hanging out with you, or if I was, you know, hanging out with the Secretary of the United Nations. I try to be the same type of person. I often bring humor into Mary in many areas. And to be a person of integrity is what you see is what you get, warts and all. Here it is. And you try to be that same, and you're the same for whether good or bad. Now, there's an interesting thing. If we go back into Greek history, back in the days of Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, Euripides, Aristophanes, and if you're going to have a kid, there's a lot of names you could use right there. But there was a big thing that they wrote a lot of dialogues or plays. And in these plays, what they would do is they had multiple roles, and like Iliad and Odyssey and all these other kind of plays that Homer and others did. Not Homer Simpson. And what would happen is they would use the same actor for different parts. And so what would happen, there would be a guy, and we would come out with a mask that would be like, eh, and he'd hold it up and be like, hi, hi, and he'd give his lines, and then he'd walk back, and he'd grab another mask and come back out and go, oh, and then there's some, they'd go, ah, and they would change. The person would continually, a couple people would play multiple roles in these Greek plays. And it's interesting, the term of what they were called. They were called hypokritos, which is where we get our term hypocrite. All right? They wore many masks. They played many different roles. And when we segment our lives, we often are not having a life of integrity, but we are often being hypocritos. We're playing different roles and putting on different masks. And what a hypocrite means is we're not the same in different areas. You're one way over there, you're another place over there. Over here, you have another area, and you act something different. Constantly putting on different masks. And in your life, when you're constantly putting on different masks, it is laborious. It is laborious, and the bottom line is you don't feel authentic. and doing that. So integrity means you don't pretend something you're not. The third thing that I want to talk about is unmixed motivation. And this goes back to the non-calculating self-interest, that you do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. You're sincere. You're straightforward. You're pure in heart. You have good intentions. For instance, like praying. Like, I know some people who, like, when they pray, you know, like people who pray, like, you feel like God's going to, like, say, oh, that's what I've been waiting for, and be like right next to them, that they bring, that when it comes for the rapture, they're going to pray first, and Jesus is going to say, okay, now I can come. You know the people who do that? And some people, and then yet, sometimes it's nice and flowery just for the show. Other times, some of the most passionate prayers are the ones that just come from the heart. And I still remember to this day when I was at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes gathering down in Baltimore. It was of this area of the state. And they had this inner city young man who stood up. And they had a lot of good people who were preaching. And I was like, ooh, praying and different things. And it was really awesome. But this one kid stood up and he just said, hey, Dad. And he just started. And I remember that to this day because it was that intimacy in the heart connection, rather than just being flowery. It was a conversation with him and his daddy. And that was so important to me, and it stood out to me even to this day. One, the one that is just doing it because you want to be seen and want to be known as a good prayer, that's one that lacks integrity. The one that is just from the heart comes directly from the heart, and that is pure. Integrity is, I've always loved this, is what you are when nobody else is looking. Reputation is what people think of you, that you put the mask on in public. Oh, this is Jack Cohen, and this is how he is, and bam, that's what you have there. Integrity is what you really are. It's when it's you're alone, it's just you and God. What type of person are you? God blesses those who have integrity. I love what it says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 20. It says, the Lord detests people with crooked hearts, deceitful hearts, demeaning, fake, phony. That's not the real you. But he delights in those who have integrity. Don't you want God to just delight in you? Don't you just want that? I mean, I do as well. So what we're going to do today is we're going to do two things in our time remaining. We're going to look at some benefits of being a woman or a man of integrity. And there's three of those. There's tons in scripture, but we're going to touch on three. And then I'm going to give you a sort of checklist toward the end. Don't worry if we're going on time. We're going to hit those very quickly on becoming a man or woman of integrity. Sound like a plan? All right. Ready? Let's go. There are some benefits and blessings of being a person of integrity. The first thing is that you get the blessing of personal confidence. Personal confidence. You just live with a different confidence when you're a person of integrity. You're not trying to be phony all the time. You're not trying to put on the right mask for the right situation. It's not just smoke and mirrors. It is you are who you say you are. And you also become a person that people like to be around. You know, people who have a good character, a good integrity, they're just good people to be around. That was even something that that if you go back to the Greeks again, that even Aristotle talked about. Aristotle talked about that people of good character, they're just the best friends to have. They're the best people to have because you know what they say they do. They have positive traits, and that's what I believe God wants us to have. You're honest with people when you're this type of person. And so you're honest about things. You're honest about your own faults. One of the things that I've always tried to do is to let people know no matter what role I'm in as a pastor is I am in the same boat as you. God just called me to be up here, and I deal with the same things and even worse in my own life that you and that everybody on planet Earth does. Why? Because I have the initials JC, but I'm not him. That basically, Scripture tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I fail all the time. And one of the things I want to share with you is I've shared with you some of my faults at the time. I share with you some of the things and the struggles that I deal with. And so I try to do that because I want you to know that I'm not just sitting here and saying, when I say something, oh, I've got all the answers and here we go. And that's why I don't walk. That's why I just kind of float over the ground place to place. I don't do that. I struggle. And I struggle a lot in my own faith and in my own life. And I share that because I want to be a person of integrity. In Proverbs 10, verse 9, it's a great picture of this kind of confidence. It says, people with integrity have a firm footing, but those who follow crooked paths will slip and fall. You know, we're going to come up here pretty soon to the winter months. Right, we're all complaining it's hot right now, but pretty soon we'll start to have that snow and that ice and that black ice and stuff. And anybody, you ever like, one of the things, there's something consistent. We all like to have a same kind of walk when it's like we do this. We have our hands out like this, and we kind of slide along, and you go, you ever done a woo? And we do that kind of thing. Anybody ever fallen on the ice or the snow? Okay, you were doing this before, weren't you? How good did that stop? And that's kind of like what it is in life if we live without integrity. We're always waiting to slip and fall. But when we have integrity and when we can share our joys and our faith and our struggles, then we have a firm footing that exists here. In Proverbs chapter 11, it says, the integrity of the honest keeps them on track. Integrity kind of shows us the right way to go. It also leads us to do what is next. Sometimes you may start to wonder. Sometimes you may be in a point of transition when you're, as we shared today, when your kids go off to college or you change jobs or you move or have some kind of other life change. And the Bible says when you have a purity of heart, when you have integrity, you see God better. And when you see God, you know what to do next in your life because God has a plan for your life. So that's the first one. The second thing, blessing that we get, is the blessing of integrity leads to a lasting legacy. A lasting legacy. I want you to do something right now. I want you to think about your life. All right? Not many of us like to do that. I want you to think about your life. And no matter what you have accomplished, the greatest legacy that you can leave long after you're gone is your integrity. I want you to think about other people who have gone on before you, and I want you to think if you know a person who you believe had integrity. You think about them differently. I want you to think about the person who never had integrity. What do you think about? You see, they may be gone for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, but those with integrity, you still look to as a different type of person. It sticks with you forever. Because bottom line is, the money that you earn in the end gets divided amongst your kids or your relatives, if you have any money left, and guess what they're going to do? Spend it. Yes, they are. The work that you do is going to be given to somebody else, and they're going to forget that you were even there, no matter how much, whether they give you a watch or something else. All the trophies that you earned in sports or in competitions or dance or whatever, they're going to be packed away if they're not already there, and eventually somebody's going to clean out your house and throw them in the dump. Happy Sunday, everyone. Pretty encouraging about our lives, isn't it? That all that stuff that we spend so much time with, it's just going to be like, it's going to be consumed by somebody else, or it's just going to be chucked out in the, thrown out in the dump. One of the most wildest things I ever saw is I went and did a funeral somewhere up in Pennsylvania. It was a good ways around here, and this guy had this old it was an old urn, but it was the box over top of it that was there. And I said, oh, where did that come from? Because it looked really old. He said, you're not going to believe this, but when cleaning out a house, and at the dump, they found this in the dump. Somebody's urn was thrown in the dump. Now, if that don't make you feel like trash, literally. I don't know what does. And so that's what we're saying is what sticks with you is the integrity of the character that you have that's going to be translated and brought into the lives of those near to you and those who know about you because of your character and integrity for the next generation and the generation after and the generation after that. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, and this is very encouraging for parents, a righteous person lives on the basis of his integrity. Blessed are the children after he's gone. You say, what? What does that mean? It sticks with them. And they remember those things. I can tell you some of the things that I blew off when my dad was on the earth and was correcting me. I know that's a shock to you because I'm such a good human being. But there's some things that dad said to me over the years have stuck with me more than any of the other things ever. And so that's important. All right. So this lasting legacy is really important. Now you may think, well, I haven't made many good choices. I've messed up a lot, and I haven't shown much integrity at all, so I guess I don't get that blessing. Wrong, because guess what? The story's not over. As long as you have life and breath, you can choose to live as a person of integrity. And sometimes the greatest integrity you show is when your integrity has been compromised or people look to you without having integrity, because people are going to look at you. We spent some time toward the end of last year talking about Job, and here's Job who lost everything, and much of it within 10 minutes. He lost so much, and he made a choice to remain that person of integrity through it all. In Job 8, verse 5, one of his friends gives his advice. He says, if you pray to God and seek the favor of the Almighty, if you are pure and live with complete integrity, God will rise up and restore your happy home. And though you started with little, you will end up with much. And that's exactly what happened to Job. He went ahead and he received double what he received, what he had in the beginning, what he eventually lost. Some of you, I don't want to make light of this, are going through and have been going through an extremely, extremely difficult time. And you may start to think, you may have even lost your integrity. You start to think, what does it matter? I've already messed up. I may as well just keep messing up. Who cares? But again, the story's not over. Somebody's watching, and you can restart and respond with integrity, and you can leave a lasting legacy. The third thing that I want to talk about is this, share with you, is the blessing of rewards in eternity. And this is probably one of the most important. I think one of the things that really touched me over the last year or so, maybe even the last 2 years or so, has been, I'm recapturing some of that, let me quote, old-time religion. You know, when you look at the old hymns, when you look at the gospel writers and the disciples, they lived with an anticipation that this was not their home, that any day Jesus was going to return. They recognized, they lived with a knowledge that, you know what, this body each and every day is dying, and they lived with a mentality of, I cannot wait to be freed from this body to go on and be with the Lord. We, over the years, have kind of changed that we love here so much, we don't want to get there. But as Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and that's where I want to be. I want to be home. Like, when we were on vacation for a couple days this week, we were rolling along and having fun, and it was good. But then, like, I started to hear the murmurs. I've had a good time, but I just kind of want to go home. I kind of want to get in my bed. I kind of want to be around my stuff, and I don't want to be around my chickens, I can tell you that. But, you know how you do that when you're away? You could have the best things, but when you get home, there's a comfort that's there. We should feel uncomfortable in this world because we aren't home yet. We aren't home yet. I can't wait till that day when I can get to my bed because my daddy has a room, mansion, take your pick, set for me. He's got a bed made for me. He's got a dinner made for me. It's going to be pizza all the time and no weight gain. I'm going to eat ice cream all the time like I did this week, so I got to get back to the gym. But what I'm saying, and I got no gym in heaven, hopefully, if I don't want it. But what I'm saying is this, is that we don't focus enough on eternity. We don't focus on that the reward is in eternity, not here. Not here. God, look at this. God will say, well done, you are good and trusted servant. Because you've been faithful with small things, I'll now put you in charge of much greater things. Come and share in your master's happiness. I want you to look at two words there. Small things. Everybody say small things. Small things. Why? Because the rewards are in the small things, not the big things. We like big things. We like pomp and circumstance and say, oh, wow, that's amazing. It's in the small things in life that integrity is built. And we can get all cleaned up for public events, but it's the small things where we show what type of person that we are. What kind of integrity do I have in the small things? On one side, I can list all the small things and the small areas that I failed. I can go ahead and sit there. I can even, last week, how many of you would like if I went ahead and put all the small things that I failed at last week? How many of you like if I put that on the screen? You'd like it if it was me, but what if I put yours on there? Nobody would like it. Because it's the small things that we struggle with. On the other side, but you know, we can't get caught there because we can put those in the column that Jesus forgives. Okay? Forgives and forgets. The other side of that is, when it comes to the small things, we can look at those things where I chose to live with character and integrity and see the areas that God rewards, that every little bit of encouragement that I gave, that God is rewarding me eternally, that every small act of kindness towards someone, whether they deserve it or not, is rewarded eternally. That every time I reject a temptation is rewarded eternally. Every time I pray a small prayer of faith is rewarded in eternity. And that's the power and the difference that integrity makes, not only here, but forever and ever. You know, it's often tough because in the small things in life is where we get tested on our integrity. I was thinking back to several years ago, and I was up in Elkton, and I was going to go out with my friends. We were going to do something, and I went to, I'll tell you this how long ago it was, I went to a Mac machine. Anybody remember those? Who remembers Mac machines? Yep, you're old. ATMs is what they're called for the younger people. And you would go there, I put my card in, and I went to get out $60. And it stuck, and 80 came out. And I had that moment of, thank you, Jesus, for this blessing that you've given to me right now. Anybody been there? And I was sitting there, I was like, okay. And you had that moment, right, where you're like, okay, what am I going to, we had that moment that there. And then you start to think, well, nobody's going to notice. I mean, you know, I'll just, they might have that camera, and they weren't as good back then anyway, so it might be pixely. The bank isn't going to miss it. And besides, they're FDIC insured. They're good. Jack isn't. You start to put scripture in there like, God gave me a blessing. That's manna from heaven. It's just through an ATM, right? You know, and then that it's not going to hurt anybody, really. And you start to do those things, and then you start to have this perspective and this integrity. It's an integrity issue. Am I going to give up my integrity for $20 that I'm going to waste tonight at a store or a restaurant? Because when you make these small choices for God, He goes ahead and says, "You passed it. There we go. Reward in heaven." It's an eternal reward. Just to follow up on that, it was actually very funny because it was a Saturday, and the bank, it was past the time the bank was open. I went back in on Monday with this $20. I mean, God tempted me all week. I was like, come on, they ain't gonna know. They ain't missing it now. They haven't sent the police after me. You know, and I'm sitting there, and I walked in, and I went to the counter, and I talked to the teller. And I said, hey, the other day I went to the Mac machine and I wanted to get 60 and it gave me 80. Here's the 20. And she looked at me like I have four heads. Hold on a second. She went and got a manager and I went through the story again. He went, Like he had no clue what to do. And he said, okay, all right. And he took the 20. Maybe he pocketed it and had lunch. I don't know. But he went ahead and said, can I get your name and telephone number? I don't know why. I had no clue. But they had no clue how to deal with that moment that is there. Now, I could give you a lot of others on the other side where Jack didn't pass the test. And maybe that's why I'm going back 20 years, because I couldn't think of anything else. But all three of these things that we've talked about, personal confidence, a lasting legacy, and rewards in heaven or for eternity, they all are wrapped up in having integrity. And so I want to share with you real quick Psalm 15. And it's from a couple different translations. And David gives us 8 characteristics of what it means to live with integrity. And here's what he says. He says, Lord, may I stay in your sanctuary and live on your holy mountain. What this is God, who gets to be close to you? Who gets to live in your presence? Who gets to experience your power? Who gets to understand your peace? Who gets to live according to your purpose? He's saying, who gets close to you, God? Who gets to be your friend? And then he gives us these 8 characteristics of a person with integrity. He said, the one who walks in integrity, 1, speaks with truth from his heart. 2, he refuses to slander others with his tongue. Isn't it interesting? Anytime you put someone else down for their views, whether it's political, their lifestyle, or any other cultural difference or anything else, God says you've lost integrity. Won't listen to gossip. Uh-oh, now we're meddling, Cohen. Notice what it says there? Listens to gossip. Not just says it, but listens to it. Will not cast a slur on a fellow man. Instead, he honors those who fear the Lord. Keeps his promises even when it hurts. He lends money freely without charging interest. Very generous, which is constantly a mark of integrity. And cannot be bribed by money. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. We need to have integrity to bring security and stability and confidence that I talked about in our lives. And so we have this in many different ways. Okay, so how do these develop? How do these develop? Now, this is kind of heavy, heavy topic, and I know I had to deal with it all week, but what I'm going to do is now I'm going to give you a little checklist, okay? There's 6 things that we're going to go through. I'm going to share some scriptures, but as soon as I say them, you're going to be like, okay, I got them. And I will tell you, they will step on your toes because they stepped on mine. Sound good? Okay. And so here we go. We're going to have this same commitment. So the first thing is, first way to become a person of integrity is by keeping my promises. By keeping my promises. It is a verbal integrity. A verbal integrity. Do you know people who keep their word? How many love the people in your life the people who you say, hey, will you help me move? And they show up. Yet you know your friends when they really help you move. When they move your junk from one area of the house to another area of another house, they really care about you. So the integrity, they show up. How many of you really struggle with the people who always say they're going to do something and never do it? Anybody? How many like when somebody says, hey, so-and-so said they're going to come over and help us, and you go, mm-hmm. You know right away that's not going to happen. And so the people of integrity, they keep their word. If they say they'll do it, what will they do? They'll do it. If they say they'll be there, they'll be there. If they say you can count on it, you can count on it. And in Proverbs 25, it says, people who promise things they never give are like clouds and wind that bring no rain. I heard there was a really bad storm this week, correct? We were sitting there and the wind whipped up and we were pulling sand out of our eyes and stuff. And we could see lightning, but there was no rain. And it was good on vacation, but you're like, hey, this is cool. And so what ends up happening there is what they're saying is people who say they're going to do something and don't follow through with it are worthless. There's nothing to them. They don't bring any benefit, just smoke and mirrors. So my question is this for us. What promises have you made that you have not kept, but you need to keep them? And ready, here we go. Everybody's thinking of one, aren't you? You're like, oh, darn it, you said that, Cohen. I got to do that. Jack, what's wrong with you? I promised I'd do this, and nah. All right. So some of you, let me give you some examples. Some of you parents have made promises to your kids that you have not kept. Do you know that broken promises are the number one cause of bitterness toward parents? But mom, you said, dad, you said, and you would take me, and you said that if I did this, then we would, broken promises, maybe to your significant other or a spouse, maybe something that you said you're going to change or that you're going to do and you haven't done. Maybe you made a promise to God, a spiritual promise. I've always been amazed at when hardship hits people, that people share with me the promises that they've given to God. You know, many people have been unemployed. I've met a many person who came to church when they're unemployed, promising God so much And then when they get employed again, it's amazing how quickly they forget the promise to God, time and time again. Or when we're sick, God, I promise if you just, if you'll do this, then. And then nothing as life goes on. Time and time again, we make promises. I know what happens. Often we'll say, yeah, well, the circumstances have changed. Doesn't matter. If you made a promise, keep your word. You notice it said, even if it's if it hurts. You know, did you like, I don't like that part. It said, even if it hurts, keep your promise. Keep this promise even when it hurts, even if it costs you more than you said. You, when it go, like, if you decided to sell something, and then you go on eBay and see it's like, you can get a lot more out of it. God says, hey, I agreed to sell it to you for this, so I'm going to keep my word and do that time and time again. Very interesting there. That's the first one. Number two, you're going to say, some of these are very practical. And you're going to say, what? These are all scriptural, though, too. It, by paying my bills, this is financial integrity. You may not think this is a big deal, but it is a big deal to God. The Bible says over and over and over again that the way you use your money is a test of integrity. Do you spend more than you make? Do you get yourself in debt to get things that you'll sell in a yard sale or that you can't ever pay off? The Bible says people of integrity pay what they owe. It's keeping your financial promises. Let me share with you a few ways the Bible says this. It says to not default on loans. Psalm 37, 21 says, the wicked man borrows and never pays back. Again, that's a condition of the heart. We all know there's situations where life changes and there's things that happen. God is not bad about that. Matter of fact, God sets up a whole system of a sabbatical year that after 7 years, you get forgiven. That's where we get our whole term for bankruptcy. That's where we get that. But it was all that you forgive and you even have a sabbatical year that you go ahead and you don't plant the same thing in the ground, that you give it a chance to renew. God's not harsh, but God says if you borrow with the intention of not paying back, that's a heart issue. It's not a life issue. You don't defraud the government of taxes. Look at what it says here in Romans. And everybody say, ugh. Everybody, let's get it out. Everybody go, ugh. There we go. Romans 13, 6 says, the authorities are working for God. And you say right now, has God turned on the news? Pay what you owe them. Pay your personal and property taxes. But Jack, the government is wasting our money. Yes, they are. Congratulations. You remember back years ago where they bought that like $800 toilet seat? I think it was like that, or it might have been a couple thousand toilet seat. I mean, that must have been a good toilet seat. Maybe they just stayed there all day. I don't know. But the government has a lack of integrity. Does anybody disagree with that? Anybody disagree with me? If so, see me afterwards and try to convince me. It ain't going to happen. But there's a lack of integrity that's there because they're fiscally, they're spending constantly more than they're taking in. That's why we have this thing called deficit spending. That is in the trillions, correct? That's a long way to go to get to that point. I know that they lack integrity. But what they do with my taxes, they're accountable to God for. I'm only accountable to God what he requires me to give. And that's what God wants me to be. To become a person of integrity, keeping our promises, paying our bills. And here we go. Refusing to gossip. Ouch, did he just say that? Yes, I did. You can talk about me later, all right? This is relational integrity. You don't talk one way with one group and one way with another. The Bible says you lack integrity if you do that. Question, do you talk about other people behind their back? Can you keep a secret? How many think you're good at keeping a secret? Anybody? Anybody really bad about keeping a secret? Because the Bible says this, a gossip cannot be trusted with a secret, but someone with integrity won't violate confidence. It's a premise of small groups, and I know Ron and I have talked about this, that in there, it needs to be Vegas. What happens in there stays there, okay, unless it's something that is legal or dangerous. In Proverbs, we all need people who embrace us, not condemn us. In Proverbs 10, it says, anyone who spreads gossip is a, what's the word? Fool. Anybody who, you're foolish if you do that. So we have integrity by keeping promises, paying your bills, refusing to gossip. And four, by faithfully giving to the Lord. This is spiritual integrity. This is a trust God first integrity, or dare I use the word tithe. Now let me, don't get too nervous. Did you know that one of the ways God tests my integrity is through putting him first with my time, my talents, my gifts, and my service? In those areas, do I put God first in my time? Do I put God first in my talents? God's given me some talents. Do I use those for God first? God has blessed us in many different ways, with talents, with gifts, with financial resources. Have I put God first there? And in my service areas, have I put God first in where I want to serve and help others in life? Have I done that? Have I done that? It's something I've got to ask myself. I can't answer for you. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where my treasure is in my time, my talents, my gifts, and my service, I can find out where my heart is. You look at anybody's life, and you can see where they go ahead and they spend their time, where they put their talents geared toward, where they spend their money, and where they engage in their service. You can find out where their heart is by those things. Malachi 3, 8 through 10 says, is it right for a person to cheat God? Of course not. Yet you are robbing me, says the Lord. How? By withholding your full tithe. God, that means God first, that first portion, and offerings. Brings me the full amount of the tithe to my house. And God says, put me to test and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing on you. Why? Because blessed is the person who's pure of heart, who has integrity, for they will see God and they will receive the blessings of God more than we think. So again, we become a person of integrity by keeping your promises, paying your bills, refusing to gossip, and faithfully serving the Lord. Number five, we've got two more. Number five, by doing your best at work. By doing your best at work. Business and vocational integrity. How many of you have ever worked with somebody who, or employed someone who just doesn't work very hard? Anybody? Anybody? Does that aggravate you? You ever, how many of you have employed someone and they're just checking a time card and they're not doing anything and they may not be with you anymore? Anybody ever been that part? How many you work with somebody that when you go and have a meeting with them, you get 10 times more work and they're still doing nothing? Anybody been there? God is really committed to this, having integrity in your work. Some people go through all kinds of things. They may be sitting back, kicking back when the boss isn't working. They may be hanging around the water cooler, gossiping. They may be playing solitaire on the computer or watching hours of TikTok videos, whatever it may be. They may be coming in late as long as they're not noticed time and time again. God considers this a serious sin if you do not give full work and you're receiving that full pay. Even if everybody is slacking off, as a follower of Christ and one who desires integrity, we must care because that leaves a lasting legacy. It leaves rewards toward eternity and gives us a confidence. Proverbs 18:9. I'm not making this up. I want to show you this. It says, slack habits and sloppy work are as bad as vandalism. God says you're robbing your employer from those things. And employers, you can write down these verses and post them all around your business if you want. Proverbs 18:9 says, a lazy employee is destructive as a saboteur. If I'm not giving my best in a job that I've been blessed with, then I lack integrity. Even if your boss is not watching all the time, your real boss, God, is. This is a test of integrity. Colossians 3:22 says, and don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Are you your best at work? Colossians 3:23 says, work hard and cheerfully at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than others. Imagine how the world would change if every Christian, 2.3 billion Christians, went to work on Monday morning through Friday or whatever times you're working with integrity and said, I'm going to work hard and cheerfully as I'm working for the Lord. Just imagine the impact that if Christians gained a reputation based off our integrity, that we are the best workers, and bosses just want to hire people who are Christians, and they say because they're the best at what they do. They're trustworthy. They put in the extra effort. They're honest. They don't cheat. They're not lazy, and they give everything above and beyond. What a difference that would change our world time and time again. The last thing is here By being a person of integrity, by being real with others, by being real with others. You don't fake it. You don't pretend. You're authentic. There's a story where three ropes, yes, ropes, walked into a bar. The one went to the bartender, and he asked for a drink, and the bartender said, "I'm sorry, our policy is that we don't sell any ropes here, anything, any ropes, I'm sorry." Rope returns to the table, he's dejected, and the next rope says, "Okay, I know what I'm going to do." So he walks up to the bar, and he says, "Hey, bartender, I'd like to ask." He said, "I'm sorry, I just told your friend, the other rope, I just told him that we are not allowed to sell ropes here." He took a 20 and did his rope thing and shoved it ahead and said, "Will this make a difference?" And he said, "No, you're still a rope. Go ahead." So he went back and he went over there and he just said, he says, "The owner won't let us do it." And I'm sorry, third rope says, "I got this." He stands up, he goes, "I got a plan, guys. We'll get our drinks this time." Third rope ties himself into a mess, into a knot. Then he grabs a comb and he starts pulling out all his fibers. It's all over the place. And once he looked completely different than the other ropes. He walked up to face the bartender. And the bartender says, "You better not be one of those ropes." And he said, "No, afraid not." That's funny. I think it's hilarious. Get it? It took a while. All right. We need to be real with others. You're going to tell that later. I don't care whether you laugh or not. You're going to tell it later. You go ahead and you're real with others. You want to be authentic. We want to be authentic. You want to be genuine. You don't want to be a hypocritos. You don't want to be afraid not when you're a rope. You don't wear masks in life. You don't talk certain ways with one group and different with another one. You don't act one way in church and then another place at work or hanging out with your buddies. You're not perfect. You're not sinless. We all make mistakes, but your heart is in the right direction, and that's what God cares about. That's what he wants to look to. In 2 Corinthians 4:2, it says, "We refuse to wear a mask and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. We don't twist God's word to suit ourselves, saying, oh, this is what it really says in order to suit ourselves. Rather, we keep everything we do out in the open." Do you realize that years ago, due to racism, that people who called themselves Christians actually took and used a scripture reference for the mark of Cain to say that was for anybody who was African American or African descent, to perpetuate racism in the name of God. We got to stop being frayed knots, and we need to be real. In a world that is absolutely obsessed with appearance and image and self, how do we keep it real? There is only one way. You have to care more about what God thinks than anybody else. We care way too much about what others think in many different ways. If you care about what God thinks, you're going to do the right thing. If you care about what everybody else thinks, you're typically going to do the wrong thing. Because what God thinks sometimes, most of the time in our culture, is very, very unpopular. Sometimes it's difficult. And in Psalm 19, it tells us that a couple things. It says, "How can I keep my way pure?" And it says, "By living according to your words." Or as it says in the CV, people can live a clean life by obeying your word. We must stay. We must stay in the word of God. And the reason why we need to stay in the word of God is that the word of God stays in us. The problem is we have more access to this at a click of a button. We can pick every different version. We can pick all kinds of colors. We can pick all kinds of things. We can find Jesus' words in red. We can do all this kind of stuff. They have the Rainbow Bible. They have the What's Happening Now Bible. They have all these kind of things. Yet biblical illiteracy in this country is at an all-time high because we have the word, but it's sitting there. And we're not in the word, and therefore the word of God is not in us. One of the reasons why I always put this here and I put it on there is because I'm hoping that if we don't get in the word, that at least once a week, the word of God will get into us and that seed will sprout and continue to go. If I don't have a quiet time, I love this week because when I got to the beach, no matter what time it was, after I got all the stuff set up and made sure no sand was going to be on me because I hate sand, I think we should have a putting green on the beach. It would be awesome. But But one of the things I did is I got everything set, and I pulled out this Bible, and I sat down, and I began to just take some time. Yeah, there were people around, but it was just me and God at that time and him speaking to me. And Friday was just the most amazing day because I got up really, really early, and I went on the beach, and there was a couple people there. And then this one person, I guess I looked really appealing because he came and sat really close to me, and there was a whole beach, and I was like, and I stopped for a minute and was like, what the heck is this problem? And God's like, integrity, Jack. I'm like, okay, yeah, I got it. All right. But I'm sitting there, and I have my Bible. I have my laptop. I put my phone down because I know it's going to go bing, 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 you know, and I put that down. And it was just me, God, and the ocean and the sunrise and a seagulls and some other stuff. It was just really an awesome moment. Just to be there with God. I realized how much I enjoyed that time. If I don't have a daily quiet time, I notice it because I'm a little cranky. If I don't have a quiet time for a week, my family notices it. If I don't have it for a month, you'll notice it because I won't be able to hear what God has for me to say in order to share that with you. We've got to stay in the Word. So in closing today, this has been a tough message for me to share. All of these are, but this one even more so, and it's probably tough for you to hear. Because if I go through this checklist for me, it's fail, 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 fail. You guys may not be there. I am. I'm really not feeling good about that checklist. I'm like, really, God? I don't like it. But I love what St. Augustine said. The confession of bad works is the beginning of good works. The first thing that we need to do in order to have integrity is realize that we haven't had it. I say, okay, God, let me start. I don't always keep my promises. I don't always pay my bills on time. God, I admit that I often gossip, and I actually like it. You know, I like, you know what? Some of the gossip's good. I really like it. If it's not about me. God, I've been not faithful in giving you time, talents, gifts, and service. I've been robbing you. I've been using the tithe in all those areas for myself. God, I don't always do my best at work, and sometimes I just slack off. And God, I'm not a real person. I fake it, and I'm a phony. I wear a mask sometimes out of my own insecurities. And God, I got to admit that I have segmented my life, and I've acted one way here and another way there. It's like the Titanic myth. Everybody know about the Titanic? The Titanic was the unsinkable ship, and the reason why it was the unsinkable ship is because of this. It was the first boat to have a segmented hull. All the other ones, if you got a hole in it, it would fill up the whole hull. And they split it up into different sections. And for years, you know what they thought? They thought that the iceberg just ripped the whole thing. You know what they found out? I read this last night. They found out that there were 6 small scrapes that were in the Titanic. What happened is it flooded one compartment, which flooded another compartment, which flooded another compartment and eventually took the unsinkable ship down. That's my life. When it's segmented, I may have something that I'm not doing well and I'm not living in integrity, and a little bit of that water, a little bit of stuff in life starts to creep in. And I say, I got it. I got it under control. I don't need God in this area. And then all of a sudden it starts to go to another one, and it goes to another one. Before I know it, my ship is sinking. My ship is sinking. I don't always do it right. You are looking at your pastor, who is a very flawed individual. I'm not always unselfish. I want to be. I'm not always kind to everyone. I try to be, but I'm not. I don't always keep my promises. I want to, but I don't always. I don't always do the best at everything I do, but I want to. I just sometimes don't. I don't want to gossip. I don't want to listen to gossip, but sometimes I do, and sometimes it's really fascinating. But the deepest part of my heart, in spite of all my failures, is I want to do the right thing, and I want to be known as a man of integrity, one who loves God and wants God to say, hey, Jack, you're a big mess up, but your heart is like mine. And because your heart is like mine, and because you are striving to be a man of integrity, you will see God. You will see God. Isn't that awesome? All right, let's stand. Let's stand right now. And let's close out in worshiping God today. Lord, as we close out the service today, there's many of us that are in this place right now that we're exhausted. We're wearing too many masks. Some of us may be extremely public, and so we have to be worried about what people say, or otherwise something's going to happen. God, I pray that we'll just go ahead and begin to care more about what you say and what you feel and what you desire than we do anybody else. So God, during this time, in all those areas, we embrace the fact that you gave us a promise. The promise is this, that everybody has sinned and falls short. So God, we all have falling shorts. Every single one of us here. Mine are different than others, but God, we're all a mess. But help us not to just get so caught up in where we fall and where we fail. So we just throw it in and say, there's no way I can be a person of integrity. I've messed up way, way too much. God, let us start today and recognize that we are forgiven. I thank you for sending your son, Jesus. I thank you for, as much as these things are bothering me each and every week, I thank you for the Beatitudes, that you're telling us a better way to live, a better way to experience your blessings. So God, right now, as I just want to lift up right now the people who have experienced loss in our prayer, in our prayer concerns, those who lost a 16-year-old and a 19-year-old and others who are struggling and dealing with loss and death. I ask that you be with them and you send people of integrity and honor in their way so that they can see you in the midst of everything. For those of us who are facing all kinds of other things, that we're facing surgeries or we're facing illnesses or what it may be, that God, I just pray that you will do as you have done before and you will be faithful. You'll be faithful and meet those needs. For those of us who are here, God, and who may never have opened our lives to you, that we have been maybe getting so exhausted with putting on the mask of this world that we just say, I'm tired. I'm tired of trying to put it on. And Lord, I just pray today that we can just put down our masks and we can say, God, I'm going to live the best I can. I'm going to fail. But I know you need to see my heart. That we can be people of integrity. And that somebody maybe today accepts the offer that you have for the first time in their life and says, you know what, I need a Savior and you're it. I need somebody to take control of this life and to lead and guide, not in a bad way, but in a way that I receive the blessings and I storm up for my room that you have for me in heaven. God, for those who are giving today and tithe and offering, and I ask for a blessing over those guests, for those who are visiting with us today. You're our guests. We don't expect you to give and don't want you to give at all. We just are glad that you're here and hope you receive what God has for you. Father, right now, just further your ministry here and around the world. I thank you that in spite of me, in spite of all my fails in all those areas, that God, you are still King and you're still Lord of Lords and you love me and you love everybody here. Speak to us in this time in Jesus' name.
Your faithfulness, your faith. in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. I know the night won't last. Your word will come. Still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet.
Just thinking real quick on that song. That song first came to me when 5 years ago Melissa and I were in Dominican Republic for a couple days of we had a quick vacation, and Rachel ruined it. Rachel had a migraine that caused a stroke at 15 years old. And thinking about sitting on a beach in paradise, enjoying my time, and how everything stopped in that moment. I didn't care about what was there. I didn't care about money, although we did buy insurance. It was wonderful. But I didn't care about anything. Only thing I cared about was getting to my daughter. And I couldn't get there fast enough. I couldn't make the plane go. I couldn't get out of there quick enough. And I had to trust God. And this song played. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. God has done it before and he wants to do it again. When we trust in him, because people of integrity, we see God. We get the presence of God. We get to see the power and the miracles of God. When we not do everything perfectly, but when we're close to the Lord. And I still tease Rachel this day that she ruined my vacation. Next week is Blessed Are the Peacemakers, or as I've titled the sermon, No, Not the Cheesemakers, for you Monty Python fans. Have a great week. God bless.